Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We want to start with the Jets here and get some football in. You know, I don't have a major problem with it. You and I have had these discussions before with the way Aaron Glenn has handled the media here, being short with some of these questions, and they were replaying some of the stuff during the morning show today with Aaron Glenn. I really don't care what Aaron Glenn says to the media, how he handles things. What I don't want is Aaron Glenn to change who he is or let the media or fans, what they're saying, impact his thought process. And it's hard to argue that it's not impacting his thought process. I think it is just 6 weeks in. And to me, that would be, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, it's the first thing that made me a little nervous about Glenn. When he starts to react to that stuff or let the noise get to him and you can see him reacting to it, that's where I think you have a problem. And that's where we're at with Aaron Glenn.
We are there, unfortunately. And we do have an issue. And somebody's got to get in the ear of Aaron Glenn and let him know what the heck is going on here, because he is digging himself a hole that even somebody that collectively we're rooting for, because he's a Jet and we like those storylines, but that's already expired. He's just making his job tougher. So what we're talking about is he was asked, I don't know who, may have been Rich or Cuss. I'm not even sure who it was. He was asked about, why aren't you guys throwing the ball downfield? That's a pretty good question. You know, I mean, yeah, you got to score some points in the NFL. Take a few shots. You might get a pass interference. I don't know. You might actually catch a touchdown pass. Either way, he was asked about this, and his answer, quite frankly, was terrifying. It actually worries. I heard this, and then I heard Greg and Booms talking about this, and I'm like, they're right. And my instinct was the same thing. He said, all right, now I'll paraphrase this part. All right, listen, I could take some shots downfield, that's fine. But if it gets intercepted, you guys are going to complain. Whoa, you guys are going to be all over us. I mean, along the lines of telling us, this is why I use the word terrifying, telling us that the Jets, Aaron Glenn, they are actually incorporating what we might think or what we might say if things go awry by taking a shot down the football field. That is really one of the most alarming things I've heard from a coach in a long time. That is ridiculous.
But I don't think that he's saying that he's not going to throw it deep because he's
worried
about the push.
But they're not throwing it down.
Yeah, well, because Justin Fields doesn't want to throw the football. That's not his fault. I mean, Justin Fields doesn't want to throw it. And he didn't throw it against the best defense in the league. So forget that for a second. Do you really think that Aaron Glenn is not going to call a certain play because he's worried about the reaction? So for me, and by the way, I don't think that he's wrong. If Justin Fields does throw it down the field or the Jets start airing it out, what do you think the media is going to say if it goes awry? Oh, why are you throwing the football down the field with the quarterback who's clearly going to run? So Aaron Glenn's not wrong, number one. Number two, I don't believe that he's not throwing it down the field because of what the media is going to say.
Well, then why did he say it?
Because I think it's true. I think it's true. Now, even though it may be true, what he shouldn't be doing is talking about those things in the open. He could feel it. Was he the first coach that's ever been criticized by the media? Everybody's been criticized by the media or the fans, especially when you're losing. You're 0-6. You just got to sit there and take it. So he could feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't say those things. So a part of the appeal to me about Aaron Glenn's personality is that he's transparent, he's open, he's upfront, he's honest. The problem is when you have that and you're 0-6, Glenn right now has zero legs to stand on. And he doesn't understand why he's being ripped apart by everybody, because he, in his mind, he's the football coach. We know nothing. And he's right in that regard. Like, sure, he is the football coach. We know nothing. But he can't understand why people are going to be questioning him. The reality of the situation is when you're 0-6 and as bad as the Jets have been with the decisions, with all that's gone on here, he is going to be questioned. He could believe a certain thing. I don't believe he should be addressing those things publicly, which is only going to make things worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I guess in some way, we're kind of saying the same thing. Like, the ability to handle duress and pushback, that's, you know, that there's a learning curve for that. So I'm not trying to, you know, color outside the lines here and be unfair to Aaron. I'm just merely reacting to what he's telling us. He is volunteering this.
Right.
And to me, that is absolutely ridiculous. The question isn't, is Justin Fields good enough to make to make big plays down the field? Number one, the answer is no.
Right.
And number two, if Garrett Wilson's double teamed, nobody else will be open. So I don't expect the Jets to become some aerial assault team like Jim Kelly and the run and shoot Bills back in the day. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I heard a coach go to the podium
right. In
the loudest city with the most distractions and quite of any other city, and quite frankly, the absolutely most disgusted fan base in all the sports. And one of his central themes is to tell us that he's worried about what we think.
Well, I don't.
Or
I don't,
what we might say.
No, I don't think that he's worried about it. I think that he's sensitive to it, which is a problem. Like, put yourself in his shoes for a second. You believe in what you're doing. You worked your ass off to get this opportunity your whole life. You know that certain things are out of your control. You're trying to get this thing turned around. And really from week one on, or certainly week two, definitively after week two, because after week one, everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. Week two on, everybody's starting to doubt him and poke holes in him. He's got the personality that doesn't want to hear any of the bullcrap nonsense, which I understand because I don't want to hear people, whether it's social media, we gave up this example the other day.
Like how to do a show?
Whatever it may be. Yeah, whatever it may be. Man, there are ways to do it. Somebody's calling it. Hey, you should do this. And there were times where I'd be like, shut up. I'm doing the show. You don't know what you're doing. And I learned that maybe that's not the best way to address it. Just let them say what they want and ignore it. Mm-hmm. He's learning. That's what happens with a young guy when he's getting that job. So I don't think that he really is going to have his thought process or play calling impacted by what the media might say. He's just being very sensitive and defensive to it because he's been getting bludgeoned for six straight weeks, pissed off with what's going on with his team, and annoyed that he's got to answer questions from people who don't know a fraction of what he knows, and that they think they know more than he does, even with his 0-6 and bad decisions. Like, we don't know more than Aaron Glenn does. So I just think he's handling it the wrong way, but I think he's learning as a rookie head coach.
Well, I mean, to me, he'll show me that he's learning when he actually changes his approach. Right. I think he's learning. I hear you. You would think that this stuff would start to resonate and he would get better, and he's a smart guy. And I believe that one of the reasons that Aaron was very appealing to me, Sal, is that I do believe he's a leader of men.
Right.
I really do. And that's one of the things you must have, especially in football. Gase obviously did not have it. I thought Saleh had it. He didn't. Nobody followed him. I think that Aaron's got that gene. And I think that, whether it's being for the Parcells tree or being part of the Detroit Lions rebuild with Campbell or being part of the Jets rebuild as a player in the mid-90s when they went 3-13 and 1-15 back-to-back in 95 and 96 with Kotite and then eventually 9-7, 12-4 with Bill. He has seen a lot of football. I'm not questioning his football thought process, but I'm beginning to question his mentality,
okay. Which
is the one thing that I thought for sure he would knock out of the park from day one.
Right, but would you rather have somebody like Robert Saleh or Adam Gase who either didn't answer the question, beats around the bush, doesn't do it? He's going to learn that the right way to handle this type of stuff is to not be sensitive and defensive to it. Let them ask the questions. And like, the best way to answer that would be like, our team is not built to throw the football down the field.
Mm-hmm.
We were built to run the football down the opponent's throat. We will take the proper shots when they're there, when we feel like it. Even if you want to get a little like, you're not the offensive play call. I know that's probably a little combative.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, just say the truth. We're not built to throw the football down the field. Don't say, well, what's going to happen when we do? Which is going to happen. He's right. But you don't need to go there. And I think those are things he's got to learn about New York, especially when they're losing to the level that they're losing.
And this is what worries me about the Jets as an organization. Like, are the Jets doing the right thing? I'm sure they're not trying to do the wrong thing. But are they doing the right thing to prepare him for what he's going to be asked about? I mean, the people in the building, Rich Samidi didn't just crawl out of a rock
right.
to start covering the Jets. Costello, O'Connor, like these people have been on the beat forever. Catanzaro, they understand the dance. They understand when I say the dance, the back and forth, the volley, the head coach, the questions, the dance, the routine. You got to anticipate this, you dopes. So why don't you sit down with Aaron Glenn? Why don't you let him know what's coming? And trust his intelligence to be able to work around that. Now, if they did do this, and Aaron's still butchering it because he's either too green or too aggressive or caught in between, then that's on Aaron Glenn. But, like, you're not just the worst, and they are the worst franchise in all of North American sports right now. They've got the longest playoff drought. We know this. Mm-hmm. We've said it a million times. So when you've got a 15-year playoff drought, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, You're not the ninth worst team. You're the worst franchise. And it's not just because you can't pick the right coach or draft the right guy or whatever, or there's scandal. It's because everything is substandard, including the ability to convey to your coach the proper messaging. I hope he gets it. They're not going to win a lot of games. I thought they'd beat Carolina. They probably won't without Garrett Wilson. So this is going to be a 3-14 train wreck. And if he doesn't clean this stuff up, Sal, he's not going to make it to year two.
But see, this is the problem. If I'm Aaron Glenn, you're hired to do a job. You got to let him do his job. And already people since week two, week three, week four, week five, week six, here we go, questioning his job already in year one. What did you expect? You expected miracles from this team. It's not going to happen in year one with a quarterback who they brought in that can't throw the football. A guy who's trying to rebuild this organization. You mentioned it, the worst organization in sports. You want him to take it out of the abyss 6 weeks in? So I can understand his frustration with how people are questioning him already. It may not be the right way to do it, but he's frustrated and being sensitive to it and defensive. That's ultimately not the right way to handle it. He's got to learn that. But I think even his confidence is being shaken here. Maybe he's starting to doubt a little bit how much room he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are all calling for your job or saying you're going
to... I get it. You get defensive.
Well, okay, so now... That's where he's at.
Yeah.
He's got to have some success to quiet the detractors and give himself some confidence, and then maybe he'll be less sensitive or defensive, and then maybe we can start getting this thing back on track. But I think that's where we're at. I love Aaron Glenn's personality. I believe he's got the right mentality, mindset, attributes to be a leader of men and a good head football coach. I also understand that doing it with the Jets is near impossible, especially when you don't have a past record to prove yourself. Because if it were Pete Carroll or whoever else, it wouldn't be the same stuff. We'd be frustrated. We'd be saying, oh, I don't know. But it wouldn't be the same thing. And also, Pete Carroll would know how to handle it because he's been there before. That's what we're going through, a learning process, not just with the decisions going into halftime or how long the field goal was at the end of the game. Also, how to handle adversity. And he's learning all this stuff right out of the gate.
I understand that. And I really am sensitive to that. The only other thing that I would add here is, as he gets defensive, right, nothing that was asked was even remotely out of bounds. It was like really the most benign question. Hey, coach, you know, the offense is having a rough time putting points up. Any thought of maybe taking some shots down the field? That's the most basic football question that you could ask. And really, when you think about when he was asked post-game by Costello, was there any thought to benching Justin Fields? I mean, this has been going on since the 50s and the 60s. Like, every coach, not just here, every coach everywhere. If your starter's winless and he's playing horrendously, like historically bad, it's not some incredibly, it's not a gotcha question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But,
and he's got to be able to handle those. That's a layup, man.
Right, but that's a Parcells, Belichick mindset. The problem is, or the big difference is, those guys had a winning pedigree. Those guys were on winning teams. You can't do that when you're 0-6 and have zero resume to say that there's any belief that you're going to be a good head coach. BT and Sal on the Fan. Plenty of baseball, as we said, coming up later on in the show. We'll hear from Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman as they address the media after the season ended a week ago. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Eric is calling from Rivervale starting us off. What's up, Eric?
What's up, buddy?
BT and Sal, what's happening, guys?
How are you?
All good.
Love that you started with the Jets. I appreciate that much. And I agree with both of you. I think, Aaron, AG just can't win for trying right now. And the problem is that he's trying in the wrong place. He's never going to win with the media. He was right with what he said yesterday, right? There's nothing he can say that's necessarily going to quell, all of the fans as well as the media. So he has to learn.
Yeah, but hold on, Eric. Hold on. Don't, Eric, hold on. And I don't mean to jump you early, but this is important. But don't add to it. Like you just said, there's nothing that he could have said yesterday that would have changed this. Yes, I there is. If he didn't bring in, well, you'll jump all over us if we throw it downfield and get picked off. If he doesn't say that, we're not leading with the Jets today.
Well, I agree. That's kind of my point, is that effectively, like what Bill Belichick always did that made him brilliant was he said nothing while saying something, right? I mean, he never gave the media anything to chew on. And that's what AG continues to do, because you're right. He's definitely insecure, and obviously they're 0-6, and winning cures all. So to me, where he needs to win is on the field. And for me as a fan, like, there's nothing more frustrating than listening to somebody tell you that what you're seeing isn't what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. And to me, the personnel is the problem. Like, We watched this last game.
But,
this
but
last
how are you going to fix that?
They're running the 12.
You can't fix that in 1 year. It's six games. Like, you're right. You can't fix that in 6 weeks.
I totally agree with you. But what I saw on Sunday, to see them go out in the 12 personnel, to me indicates that they don't know who their personnel are. They're putting two tight ends in blocking schemes that can't block. Breece Hall doesn't get a pass all game. Like, they're not using the personnel the way they need to.
But those are different discussions,
Eric. And that, to me, is
Eric.
Where coaching comes in.
Yep, and you're not wrong. Thanks for the call there, buddy. Good stuff, getting a little juice out of the shoot here, first call. You're not wrong, but we're not even getting into the, you know, like the weeds of the Jets schematics, because nobody cares. Like, right now, everybody knows the Jets have one terrific wide receiver and a bunch of nobodies. They've got one appealing tight end. And that's, you know, and I like Mason Taylor. They had three pretty good running backs on paper. One's basically out for the season. The other one's not as good as we thought in Davis, and Breece Hall wants out. I mean, you know, so we know that there's a dearth of talent. That's not the concern. That's a concern for next year, but that's not the complaint or the reservations now. What's worrying me, man, and I've still got his back. I want people to know that I've got Aaron's back and I've still got belief in him. But there's too many warning flares week after week that he's a little overwhelmed by the job.
I don't think he's insecure. I think his position can be deemed insecure. I think there's going to be a little bit of doubt creeping in. I don't believe Aaron Glenn ever thought that he would have started 0-6. And the more that piles up and the louder the noise becomes, the more difficult it is to get out of that. And he really doesn't know. He's learning, so he can believe in himself 100%, which I believe that he does. But until you do the job that you've always wanted successfully, like, how do you really know?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted this opportunity. He got the opportunity. He's gotten smashed in the face here at 0-6. And certainly some things that you could see that he's learning on the go as a head coach that maybe even he didn't realize, whatever it may be, handling the timeouts, handling the end of the half, handling the media. Like, there's a lot of different things that go into it, which is why we said in this particular market, look, if he were doing this in Detroit or wherever else, it wouldn't be this loud. It might be a little noisy with the horrific start. It wouldn't be this loud, especially in year one. So there's a lot at play. The media, the fans, the history of the organization, a rookie head coach, his personality, and the way that he's handling this. Like, I don't think questioning the media or being short or terse or at sometimes combative, I don't think that that's the wrong way. If you're having success, nobody in this town will give a crap. We could either laugh it off. We could be like, this guy's a whatever. It wouldn't matter because he'd be winning. It's the combination, the worst case combination of losing plus seeing him handle it this particular way and him trying to still find himself as the head coach of the New York Jets.
Just imagine if Tom Thibodeau, I know obviously no longer here, but say if Tom said after a playoff game, right, or a bigger profile Cavs, something like that, Celtics last year, regular season game, and he was asked by whomever, all right, hey, you know, coach, why does it seem as if you guys are abandoning your three-point, whatever, willingness to shoot so many threes? And his answer was basically, well, I mean, we'd like to shoot some more threes, but you guys would be all over us if we miss them. That's the equivalent.
Yeah, I mean, he might.
It's not different than that.
Tibbs was never, you know, best buddies with the media. There might have been some times where people said about the minutes and he was either in a disrespectful fashion, whatever it may be. It's different because it's Tibbs.
And he also,
it's Lord Tibbs.
He won in Chicago, win championship, but he had some pedigree and he was an assistant here, no doubt.
Bingo. So look at the way Tibbs handled the media. It's a great example. But look at the way Tibbs handled the media. Also, look at his track record. Now, he did have success when he first got here, but still, there's a different, you know, Tibbs was not lovey-dovey with the media. He wasn't like, oh, yeah, you know what? That's a great point. Maybe I should play this guy. No, he was short and terse with it as well. The difference is the resume and the reputation to back it up, where Glenn does not have that.
Confidence comes from doing.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, think about the first time you were on SNY. First time ever, 15 years ago.
100%. You have to, right? You have to have success to have confidence, or experience, then some success to have true confidence.
100%. Even the cameo that you shot the other day for Gravesend, right? You go back, or you go back for season four, you go back to finish another scene, you're going to feel better because you've done it.
100%.
Think about anybody who's trying to break 100. You feel good on the range, man. And you go to that 18th hole, and you got a 95, and you got to get a par. Or if it's a par three, you got to get a bogey to break 100. Well, suddenly things, you feel different because you haven't done it yet. I understand that. All I'm saying is, don't make it tougher, coach.
Yeah, I get it. but that's part of the reason why I wanted a head coach with experience here, because of this exact freaking reason. With that being said, I still believe Glenn has the right attributes to get the job done. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Big Yankee day for the second half of the show as we finally get the year-end pressers from both Boone and Cashman. And, you know, obviously that's going on during the ALCS right now. We're seeing the Mariners and Blue Jays go at it. Blue Jays with a big bounce-back win last night. Lots of offense wasn't there for the Yanks. So very curious to hear what the Boone and Cashman have to say. We'll have that live coming up at noon. But we started with the football. And we're talking about Aaron Glenn and less about just the record, BT, but overall how he's handled the media. So we were referencing the clip. And the one thing that was getting taken from that clip was how he was defensive in regards to saying, well, if he does throw it down the field and make some mistakes, you guys are going to question it. Let's listen to the whole clip just to give proper context to everybody from Aaron Glenn when he was asked this question.
I think you said after the game, you'd like to see him give guys a chance. Do you think he maybe needs to take a few more chances in terms of it? It's not wide open. Let's try a 50-50 ball. Let's try to give Garrett a chance.
Yeah, here's what I do know is, and you're right, you know, and I've said that, and I still believe that, and I think that's for any quarterback, especially when you have man coverage, to give a guy a chance. But I do know if something bad happens, you guys are going to be about that, about him, you know. So the thing is, he's just got to go out there and play quarterback and do the best that he can. But I don't come off that at all. You know, when you're in man coverage, I mean, you got to give a guy the chance to go catch the ball.
Okay, so first of all, it was not combative. He answered the question. And I don't think he was being unfair to or letting that impact the decision-making when he says that, meaning like, oh, I'm not going to throw it because you guys are going to question. He was being accurate, saying that basically we can do no right. Now, I can't defend Aaron Glenn because his team hasn't done any right when they're 0-6. But his point remains true in that no matter what we do, you're not going to be happy. Other than winning, no matter what the Jets do, nobody's going to be happy.
Yeah, but that's what he's got to keep in his back pocket there. To me, you know, when he says, you know, you guys are going to react, that tells me that, or how you're going to react if you throw it downfield, it doesn't work out, that what the media thinks is centrally on his mind, and it shouldn't be. Like, again, it's not fireable, but it's these little tiny things that are sprouting up that have me worried. But there's no reason that after your sixth straight loss, when you're asked a very inbounds question, and you're right, it wasn't a combative response there, although it's been a little contentious at points.
Well, and yesterday was not. Well, there was one, too, when he was talking about the Garrett Wilson injury.
Yes, I heard that as well.
That was a little more.
Yeah, like, yeah, we'll see. It was very short. It was like three or four words.
And he kept asking, and Kaz was asking different ways, and he just kept saying the same thing.
Yeah. But, like, I don't need my head coach. I just don't. In that moment. Now, listen, if it's like a 35-minute radio interview, you know, like we've had Boone on a bunch. If he references something like that, you know, you guys will get on me for whatever, or the call. That's different because it's more of a free-flowing conversation. And maybe the question that we ask will propel him to respond in a more broader sense. But Aaron Glenn, like that, it just shouldn't be there that quickly, that early at this stage of his career.
But don't you think, but at this stage of his career, I think it is okay to be there because he's just starting out. He doesn't know. He's never dealt with this at this level before. Being a player for the New York Jets is a lot different than being the head coach of the New York Jets, especially coming off of the years of futility that we've had. Can you put yourself in his shoes and understand?
I could.
Okay, and we like Glenn because of his personality, because you don't like him because of his coaching record, because he doesn't have a good one. He's never had one before as far as being a head coach. So, and part of the reason why you loved Aaron Glenn and why I started to fall in love with Aaron Glenn was because of that personality. Can you understand why that may be seeping into his thought process 6 weeks in, where he's hearing all this noise and being like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I'm trying to do the job. I believe I'm the right guy for the job. I'm with you guys. Like, I want to build this thing too. You've got to trust me. And it's not there. And he's probably frustrated by that and wondering why that's not the case. So naturally it's in there. And he's got to be thinking to himself, yeah, but you guys are going to question him anyway, which is true.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Sal, can I understand that? I can. But I'm not trying to reverse a culture of 15 years, well, right, really more than that, of complete and utter right ineptitude and dysfunction. And because it's such a big job, I need every ounce of focus on the building, not Costello, not BT and Sal, not social media, you know, not guys like Baldy, you know, critiquing right concepts on whatever they do or don't do. I need him. And I'm not saying that he's like taking shortcuts in terms of hard work. I'm not saying right that at all. I think he's a grinder. I believe he's very diligent. It just hasn't worked out yet. But to me, when you project that, even if it's right, even if it's not accurate, you're projecting that every ounce of 100% is not on the rebuild of the Jets, and it's got
to
be.
He needs to get a win in the worst way. Ray is calling from Babylon. What's up, Ray?
My takeaway from that Aaron Glenn press conference is that he's coaching scared. If you didn't think that he was scared out of his wits in that last game, in those last 10 seconds before halftime, it was like the air got out of the room. Everything was in slow motion, and everyone is yelling, kick the ball, and nothing happened. Aaron Glenn was brought into New York to clean up the dirty diapers, right? Mm-hmm. What does he do? He gets rid of Aaron Rodgers, and he poops the diaper. I'm sick and tired of these coaches that come into New York, they're supposed to clean up the mess, and they poop their pants and make it worse.
Right, but Ray, did you really think Aaron Glenn was going to be able to clean up the Jets' mess, which has been going on forever, in 6 weeks?
Nope, but I didn't think he was going to make it worse by getting rid of Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, Ray. The owner didn't want Aaron Rodgers. So that's not, and let's not make it, by the way, you fans didn't want him either. Okay? We sat here and fielded calls. Everybody was okay with getting Aaron Rodgers out of here. I wanted him to stay. You guys didn't want him. So let's not look back. And I'm not saying everybody. Obviously, it's not everybody.
I was open to him coming back. I wanted Aaron to be able to make the right decision for the building. Well, yeah. But it was a Woody thing.
Well, 100%. And by the way, even if it was Aaron Glenn, so be it. It mm-hmm might have been the right thing, because you could understand why a rookie head coach wouldn't want that big personality in here. And Aaron Rodgers was here. He was here. And it didn't work. Which should show you something else, that it's not just Aaron Rodgers. It's not just Aaron Glenn. It's bigger than that. It has been bigger than that. Aaron Glenn is trying to clean it up. Where I do agree with Ray is that Aaron Glenn clearly coached scared in that game last week against Denver. And I believe part of the reason for that, and now this is not acceptable, but it's a learning curve of a young head coach who is a little bit scared because the noise has gotten incredibly loud. He's trying to play a little safe as opposed to being aggressive. Hey, let me not screw this up and bungle this here. Let's say they decide to throw and Fields throws a pick six or whatever. A fumble happens and the Broncos take it back. What do you think's going to happen? Everybody, oh, what are you doing? They're being aggressive there when you should know the... But now, to your point, he's thinking those things. That's not right. But I do believe he is scared because of the loud noise and because of the results so far through the first 6 weeks.
But I didn't expect scared. Remember when Mike White threw the 7-yard pick six on Black Friday against the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Because so, we worked that morning. I remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I dragged into that. I'm like, come on, the Jets might be good this year. We got to be there for our listeners, Jets fans. Dolphins, oh, here we go. Right. Yeah, we come in, we work. Oh, God. And like, to me, when that happens, right, the Jets took a shot, right? I think that was right before the half, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, it was brought back to the house. They gave up a quick seven, right? So I could deal with that. Like, if that would have happened the other day, and rather than just basically taking a knee, not a literal knee, but a figurative knee here, symbolic knee, not going for it, I prefer them airing it out, something horrendous happening, and Aaron Glenn going to the podium and saying, listen, guys, We have been beat down as a franchise for so long. We haven't won a damn thing. I need to let these young men know I'm trying to empower them to do the right thing. We're here to win. We're here to go hard. We're here to go fast. And when you go fast and when you go hard and you're a young team that doesn't know how to win yet, you're going to have a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. Understand that. I understand it. Doesn't mean I want to see it happen, but I understand the process. We're going to be aggressive. It's the opposite.
I agree with what you're saying. I think the only reason for it is we're seeing a head coach that is learning on the job how to deal with a lot of different things. I believe that eventually he's going to get it. And he shouldn't be thinking about what the fans are saying and what the media is saying. I'm also not inside that building. Maybe the noise has gotten to a point where there is some pressure from the top on down.
If that's the case, then it really is hopeless.
Bingo.
Hopeless.
Now, if that's the case, how is anybody supposed to succeed?
Yeah.
And why do you think, Woody, we had this conversation, why do you think Woody didn't hire or hasn't hired somebody with experience?
Well, he's dying to be a glory hound. I've always said that. The Jets finally win. Woody hires somebody who's never been a head coach. Oh, Woody's an amazing owner. He hired this guy and he won. That's why.
You think that. I think it's because he wants to have more of an input. If John Gruden or Bill Belichick or whatever, pick Mike Vrabel, whoever it may be, comes in and says, this is how I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You're the owner. You cut the checks. I'm the football coach. And this is how I want to do it. Well, he's not going to stand for that. That's why you keep getting these first-time head coaches who are not going to turn down the opportunity, because who wouldn't? Who wouldn't take the job? Like, I don't care what job it is. If it's your first opportunity and you might not be getting other ones or you haven't had other ones, you better take that opportunity and hope for the best. We've seen with Bowles. We've seen with Sala. Now we're seeing with Aaron Glenn how it might not work out. So you're seeing a first-time head coach learn here. But if the noise has gotten so loud in the building, and now those guys are starting to put a little pressure on Aaron Glenn, I could see how that would shake even the most confident of individuals, especially when he hasn't had any success to back it up.
There's an old, you know, I'm referencing golf a lot lately. There's an old expression, never up, never in. And for those of you who play, you know what I mean. If you don't, I'll tell you, if you don't get it to the hole with the proper pace, it's got zero chance to go in. Now, it could be left, could be right. You could just, you know, bang it 25 feet past the hole. Never up, never in. And I would say that's the new approach for Aaron Glenn. Stop trying to get down in two. Try to hold the putt. Try to hold the putt and see what happens.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We'll hear from Booty. We'll hear from Cashman, see what they have to say about what went wrong this season, or if they even acknowledge that anything went wrong. Who knows? I get the feel we're going to hear a lot of, we're a really good baseball team, 94 wins, maybe a little bad postseason luck. We'll figure it out here, what we hear from Boone and Cashman, but I'm looking forward to it, BT. Start of the show, obviously talking some football here with Aaron Glenn. We'll get to the Giants maybe next hour and work in the possibilities of who they could trade for, as it seems like that. We talked about that yesterday, adjusting some stuff with some salaries here to make some more room.
You know what, $4 million, right?
Something like that, to make a little more room for the cap this year, which would indicate you'd think they're going to be going after a wide receiver.
Obviously. Yeah, and some of the names that you saw, again, we'll do it more thoroughly in a bit, but Olave, which is a name I brought up the other day. I didn't bring up Jalen Waddle. I think you did, actually.
Yes, yesterday, Waddle. Yeah.
And there was one more that I threw out
he
there.
Was on
so,
his list.
Okay,
you saw like an actual list of people.
I think Connor had it. I think there were three names. Okay. Olave was one, Waddle was one, targets. Yeah, they're going after some, I mean, at least, you know, the report is some real wide receiver.
BT and Sal on the Fan right now. We're talking about, is Aaron Glenn a real head coach or not? Peter is in Wanacue. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
All right,
I've got a few points to make. And first, I take Glenn's response to the media as he's basically saying, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Meaning that if I let him loose, gets intercepted, I get blamed. So my point is that he's not scared to lose. I think he's scared to win. And I'm going to put it in perspective. When Brian Daboll came on in the Giants, I remember a game I was watching. They were down 7 points. They scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he goes for two.
That was Tennessee.
Said,
first game.
Nuts.
First game, Pete, in Tennessee. Game one.
And he got the team behind him. They went on an adrenaline rush. They had a great first season. That's why he's got a long leash. Now, in comparison, Glenn does not have a long leash. I've been a long-time Jet, so I guess I'm numb to it. But I don't care if they're 1-5, 0-6, 2-4. I want to see that they're making the right steps. That he's making winning moves, winning decisions. that say, hey, I got confidence in this guy that he's learning. I don't want to say, oh, he'll learn on the job. Hey, some people just can't. They don't have it. So I want to see him be able to show me that he's making adjustments, and that's what good coaches make.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no other sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no other sport that the coach has more of his fingerprint on the game than football.
Mm-hmm.
Big X's and O's and strategies. And then on the other half, I want to defend Glenn. Last week, they didn't lose the game because of him. Fields was just terrible. He was behind on those receivers. He makes a couple of those plays, and they're in field goal position. So Fields, I couldn't trust him to hit any other receivers running across the field. He was way behind him. He wouldn't let it loose. He was holding. He was looking to run. So I blame Fields for not making the call.
Right, but then other people, Peter, would blame Glenn for not going to Tyrod Taylor. I am not one of them. But other people are saying that. So you can't just absolve Glenn with the loss. I know it was primarily on Justin Fields, but Aaron Glenn also made some horrific decisions in that game that the Jets could have won. Even with as bad as Fields played, they could have still won that game if he made some different decisions going in at halftime or even at the end of the game trying to kick a field goal instead of ridiculously going for 4th-and-8.
You're right, but Taylor's not the future. We got to say, is this guy going to stick with us? So he's out. So
I agree with you for the record on that.
Glenn.
Yeah.
Well, I got to stick with Glenn for the year and see what he's got, because at this point, we can't switch. Now, the last thing on a humorous point, if I told you that 6 games into the season, the Jets would be 1 game off of the Ravens, I think you'd be happy with that.
That's funny.
So
yeah.
Imagine that crowd and their coach and their team out there. They got to be feeling.
Yeah, hey, Mike,
I'll leave you with that
and
I'll listen to your comments.
It's a good call, Pete. Thank you very much. Hit a couple different things there. So, John Harbaugh has had a few other points, and he's been with the Ravens for a long time, as we know, where he's been on thin ice, and I think we're getting there again. So, and it's not really his fault because Lamar's hurt, and obviously no Lamar, no wins, but there's a chance John Harbaugh is going to get fired in Baltimore.
And if he's available, I can't sit here and say, well, you got to stick with Aaron Glenn just because you thought he was the right guy and you got to see it through. That may be true. However, if Harbaugh is available and would be open to taking this job, and I doubt that Woody would want him, and I doubt that Harbaugh, if he did get fired, would want this job. He's going to have other jobs.
That's no question.
But that's a situation that, to me, I don't care who the current head coach is, if there's still doubt about it and Harbaugh is available, I'm bringing him in. I would say the same thing for Mike Tomlin. If somehow Tomlin were available, if there's a known commodity that's, to me, in my mind, a guarantee, and I'm the Jets, or really any team that's still in search of or has a question of my head coach, I'm making a decision to fire and hire one of those guys.
After one, make it one and done, huh? Seen it before, yeah, I get it.
I wouldn't suggest that, and I'm not saying that they need to do that. I'm saying that in the event that somebody like that, Tomlin, Harbaugh, problem is the Jets had a chance to get Jim Harbaugh, and they didn't want him.
Yeah, so let's get the second of the Harbaughs. I like John Harbaugh. I think he's a little bit overrated. I've thought that for a while. Now, if they would have hired him, you know, say if the Ravens got rid of him a year ago and he's coaching the Jets now, I would certainly have been very enthused with the hire. But if Aaron shows any sort of progress, the team, obviously how he handles all these things that are flying at him now, and there's at least some signs that Aaron's getting it, which is what Pete brought up, the caller. He said, listen, you know, we have to give him at least time to show that he can improve upon his mistakes. That's number one. I like John Harbaugh. Don't love him. I love Jim Harbaugh. Jim's not available.
BT, but he was, and they didn't get him. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back. And a little Brian Cashman press conference bingo. We've got the bingo cards here in front of us. BT and Sal play some bingo when we'll listen to Booney and Brian and Cashman together. We can get into that when we come back. You like that card there?
This thing is absolutely. You know what? First of all, it's you and I up top, which is funny. It's all the different terms, which we'll get into when we get back. I just noticed that Cashman's wearing a tux. He's hosting the game.
Yeah.
This is funny. Oh, people are going to love this.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.